Are you expecting to get something good from the Lord today? You didn't just come here to be entertained, to maybe hear a nice song or a nice message and leave this place the same person you came in here as. Nope. You came in here to be changed. We came in here to let the Lord's Spirit impact us and let His Word be planted on the inside of us. And I love what the Bible says over there in James chapter 1 and verse 21 when he said this. He said, wherefore, I'm going to say it in the King James, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and, listen to this, superfluity of naughtiness. How many of you know we don't talk that way anymore? That's old King James talk. What it really means is overflow of wickedness. But then notice what he says. But receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And a lot of times when we hear that phrase, save your souls, we're thinking about being born again, having salvation enter into your life, but I think it means more than that. So how many of you know your soul, which is your life, the way you think, your personality, some of our souls need to be saved, need to be healed, need to be delivered. Well, how does that scripture tell us it's going to happen? By receiving with a heart of humility God's word, which works like a seed. And when it's implanted on the inside of you, it can start to bring forth some fruit in our life. I was sharing this with our brother Joe that's up here playing the bass now. We had a talk this week, and I was talking about kudzu. And he's not from around here, so he wasn't too familiar with what kudzu was. All right, and I had to explain to him that kudzu is, some people, I guess, like it, plant it intentionally, but how many of you know what happens? You plant some kudzu or ivy or whatever it is, and it starts to take over the area. Well, I believe that's what happens when you plant God's word on the inside of you. Like kudzu, it begins to take over this area from the inside to the out. So that's what we're here to do, is have ears to hear what the Spirit's saying and let His word impact our life. Amen? Amen. Now, Acts chapter 1. I think I said chapter 2, but I meant chapter 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, we have an awesome promise to us. And this is what we're camping on over the next few months here at our church. Jesus was raised from the dead at this point. He comes to His disciples in different ways. But in this particular one, it talks about how they were assembled together with them. He was assembled together with them. And He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, He said, you have heard from Me. And then He goes on to say in verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. How many of you have experienced this awesome promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life? You know, that's probably the most common terminology we use for this second work of grace of God in our life. But did you know the baptism of the Holy Spirit is actually not the predominant term that's used, or phrase that's used to describe this experience? It's used a couple of times, but probably the most common one is either to be filled with the Spirit, or how about this one? This is one we don't use a lot. The Holy Spirit coming upon you. Amen. Now, this explains a lot of things, because when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to continue to do this today, that's what we need to understand in the body of Christ, is that, yes, when you're born again, the Holy Ghost comes to live within you. But when you receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that's why they call it baptism. Because how many of you know, when it comes to water baptism, the correct way to do it is not to be sprinkled, contrary to some people's opinion. How many of you know, I don't want to be sprinkled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. I want to be, I like to say it this way, dunked in the Holy Spirit, to where He's coming upon me, empowering me in my outward man. And that's what Jesus is promising here. But He goes on to say in verse 6 of Acts chapter 1, therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom of Israel, kingdom to Israel? And He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. So this is what the Lord made sure they knew, and I think we need to understand this in the body of Christ today. People get hung up on trying to figure out times and seasons. You know, there's always somebody that's going to spring up and try to tell us the day, the exact date, that Jesus is going to come back. I'm going to tell you what to do with books like that. Throw them into your fireplace and use it as a good fire starter, because the Bible says Jesus doesn't even know that time. Amen? So when people start trying to predict times and stuff like that, you can know seasons, you can know time frames, but some of those things, it's not worth really getting hung up on. But this is what is worth your attention. After he says it's not for you to know these times or seasons, look what he says what it is for you to realize. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, I want you to notice, and we made a big point of this last week, the Lord makes sure to tell us that we are called to be witnesses, which is a big difference between just going witnessing. Right? Now, we emphasize that a lot in the church. You might have gone to a church like that that really emphasizes going witnessing or doing witnessing. But I'm a big proponent of the most important thing we need to do. Yes, we need to go and share our faith. Yes, we need to have evangelistic outreaches. We need to do things. But the most important thing is to be this way. How many of you know there's been a lot of reproach brought against the Lord and His church because some Christians, while they might profess something and they might say something, don't necessarily act like it in their own everyday life? So we're going to emphasize in here the importance of being this way, and then we'll move into actually doing it in our life, in our own proverbial Jerusalem, in our own Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But again, what did he say in this verse? Something has to happen before we can really be his witnesses. And what is it? Receiving power as the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And we went over to Luke chapter 24 last week and saw how the Lord had told them, man, you guys need to tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued or clothed with power from on high. Why? Because it's not good for me to be a lamp with no power. How many of you know you can be something that's capable of producing light, but if you don't have a power source, you're not really going to do much good? And that's essentially what I believe the Lord is saying right here, is we got to have the power source so that we can actually be the light He's called us to do. So we spent a lot of time last week talking about how the Holy Spirit coming into our lives is the power that is meant to dress us or clothe us in something that's more attractive to the world around us. Amen. That He comes and lives within us, changes our life, and like new wine, frees us up a little bit. I looked around this morning during some of the upbeat songs that we were doing, and some of you, I was proud of you, you got a little freer than usual. There was a little bit of movement around. Some people were jumping. Some people were dancing. Praise the Lord. That's good. I'm going to tell you something. The best way to do it is get full of the Holy Ghost. And man, He will cause you, I believe, to do a little bit of what David did when he led the ark back into the city of Jerusalem. What would the Bible say? That he danced before the Lord with all his might. And then his wife caught him, saying, oh, how dignified was the king before his people today. He unclothed himself before them and acted in this unbecoming way. And that's what religion will do. But I love what the King David turned around and said to his wife. He said, woman, how many of you know he was probably sleeping on the couch that night. Woman, I shall become even more undignified than this. In other words, what David was saying was, oh, you thought that was something? You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm about to get real ugly for Jesus. Well, when you get full of the Holy Ghost, man, He'll do a lot for you like what wine will do for people out in the world without the hangover and being completely free. He'll free you up, man. You just don't care so much. There's a boldness that comes on the inside of you. You're quicker to share your faith with people. You become a better witness. Because why? You're living in the freedom that Jesus Christ made you free with. Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. That's what He does in us. So let's go now to John chapter 17. I got something real good for you today. I hope you wore your shouting clothes in here today. And if you didn't, go change. That means repent. Amen. And start putting on some shouting clothes. Get excited for what the Lord is going to show us today. One of my favorite subjects to talk about in the kingdom of heaven is the precious and powerful Holy Spirit. In fact, we spent an entire calendar year at this church talking about the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we did not exhaust everything there was to know about the Holy Spirit. And we are a bold, unashamed, and confident Spirit-filled bunch in this church. We believe that the Holy Spirit still is doing things like He did in the book of Acts, and we can receive this power and let Him help us. But I am convinced of something. I am convinced that if the Lord Himself were to write a book on the subject of witnessing, that the first chapter in the Lord's book on being a witness would be entitled, Witnessing Made Fun. Now, you realize the phraseology that I'm using right there. Witnessing made fun, because I have found that people that do have a heart to evangelize others and do have a heart to disciple don't always know how to do it in the right way. How many of you know you should be enjoying your Christianity? It shouldn't be boring, lifeless, and laborious, and full of struggle and hardship. Now, there will be trials, there will be tribulations, there will be things that come, but I'm going to tell you the awesome thing about the Lord and His Holy Spirit on the inside of you. When you do things in Christianity right, doesn't matter what you go through, you'll still have victory on the inside of you. You'll still have peace. You'll still have joy. You'll still have love in your heart, and you will actually enjoy it, not endure it. Amen. And I believe the Holy Spirit is one of the number one ways in which we enjoy it. And that includes witnessing for the Lord. I think the reason why people going and sharing their faith is such a terrifying thing, something that people run from in the body of Christ, and they're not necessarily, they don't enjoy doing it, is because they're not doing it right. Because they're not leaning on the helper, the one that makes witnessing fun. Well, in John chapter 16, did I say 17? I think I said 16. Yeah, let's go to 16 and look at verse 7 again. We looked at this verse last week, but I'm going to look at it in this version, which I read from as the New King James, and then we're going to look at it in the Woman's Bible. That's the Amplified Bible, in case you didn't know that. I don't call it the Woman's Bible because Joyce Meyer was the one that kind of helped make it popular or anything like that, praise God. But what I'm talking about here is because it gives an amplification, hallelujah, of what the Lord was really saying in a lot of the words. Now, it's not always a perfect science. The Amplified Bible doesn't always give the best definitions and stuff like that, but I believe in this verse, it really opens our eyes to some things. But let's look at it in the New King James first. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your," say this word with me, "advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you." Now, I'm going to tell you something. I am so glad. I mean, help me now. Is this in red letters in your Bible? If you got a red letter Bible, it's in red letters. What does that mean? That means Jesus said it. I'm so glad Jesus is the one that said this, and not Pastor Trey, not the Apostle John, not any other person that's out there. This came straight from the horse's mouth. This is the Lord telling us a powerful truth that if it didn't come from His mouth, it might be considered heresy. Because what is He saying? It's actually better that I, Jesus, am not with you. There's something that's more advantageous for you in your life to not have me physically present with you. And He goes on to say that this advantage that He says is to have the Helper come to you, because the only way for the Helper to come is for Jesus to go and be seated at the right hand of His Father. So essentially what this is saying is, sorry mainline denominations, this is saying having the Holy Ghost in the church today is better than having Jesus physically on this planet. Jesus said it, right? And why is this? Why would this be truth? It's really not rocket science. It's easy to understand why. Because Jesus was in a physical body. He was flesh and blood. He was limited in what he was able to do. You know, we've been watching, you know, we're a little bit behind, but we're watching a lot of The Chosen and watching those programs and stuff and seeing how Jesus performed things. And one of the good things that this particular theatrical portrayal of the Lord and the truth does is it really helps you to understand that Jesus really was a man. He was a lot more like us than you realize. Even though he was 100% God, he was 100% man. And one of the things that it can help you to understand is Jesus was limited in how many people he could minister to. He couldn't answer every question at all times. He couldn't be at every place at all times. In fact, in one case where he was ministering to the sick, the way that they had it portrayed was that all the sick people were lined up and coming to him. And we were talking about that, and I said, I don't think that's how it happened. Because the Bible talks about how it was multitudes that he healed, right? I mean, it was more like Pentecostal churches. Boom, 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 boom. I mean, he's laying hands on people and people are getting healed and they're coming to him. That's kind of what I see it more like. But see, he was still limited. Only the people that could physically press in and get to him or he could get to them were the people that would really receive from the Lord. So it's easy to understand why the Holy Ghost is better, because guess what? He's just like Jesus. He's a helper just like him. And he lives on the inside of us. So essentially, what this means is each and every one of us have our own personal Jesus living on the inside of us. Amen. So if you're like Peter and you got a question, oh Lord, what do you say? If I need to touch the hem of his garment, there we go. You see what I'm saying? Jesus is manifest on the earth today in the Holy Spirit. But I want you to notice here that he calls him a specific term here. He refers to him as what? The helper. Now again, I'm reading from the New King James, and depending on what translation you use, it might say comforter. I think if you got the King James, it says comforter. And there's other terms. And the reason why you can see this word translated in so many different ways, the Greek word parakletos, is because this word, when you really look at it, in its purest sense, it has such a many variety of meanings of what the Holy Spirit performs in our life. In fact, if you just look at the original Greek word, parakletos, it's spelled P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S. And there's other variations of that, but that's essentially what he's saying. And when you look at this word and you break the word apart to see what it means, the first word you get is para, which is where we get what? Our English word, parallel, paraprofessional, paramedical, right? We use those kind of terms on the earth today. And what does that really describe? Well, parallel, a parallel line would be another line alongside, running alongside of another line. If you're talking about like a paraprofessional, it is a person that comes alongside of a professional. So the word para then means a lot what para means today, which means to come alongside of. The other word, kletos, comes from the word kaleo, K-A-L-E-O, and this word was used to describe being called or a calling. And not a calling in the sense of come and get it, dinner's ready, but a calling in regards to position, appointment, and service. Like, I would be called to be a pastor and you might be called something else. So what this means is that the Holy Spirit has a calling. And what is his calling? To be right alongside of you, para you. Amen. Which means a lot of different things, and that's why I want us to look at the Amplified Bible. So Debbie, if you would, put the Amplified Bible up. And I think this is kind of the more recent one. There's actually a classic version which has a little bit of a difference. But look at this. This is so awesome the way the Amplified Bible brings this out. It says, however, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, or advantageous for you that I go away. Why? Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, now look at the parentheses, the Comforter, the Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, strengthener, and standby will not come to you. into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Isn't that awesome? And how many of you know that is exactly what the Holy Spirit is called to do, to be in close fellowship with you? One of my favorite verses in the New Testament is actually the last verse Paul ever wrote to the church of Corinth. If you total up 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, you got 27 chapters. And in the last verse of the 27th chapter of these two books, you have Paul saying something to this church, who I'm sure he knew he might not ever talk to again. He says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." He was blessing them and praying over them that the Trinity has a part and a position to play in our lives. Yeah, we need to receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We preach that here. Yeah, we need to receive the love of God the Father. We preach that here. But guess what else we preach here? We need to have the communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That, listen now, this is important. The communion of the Holy Spirit is equally as important as the grace of Jesus and the love of God the Father. And we know how important those two things are. Amen? You and I need the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in our life. And when we have that fellowship, we partake of all these benefits of the Parakletos. So let's look at each one of these words. And I want to break down some things to you to show you today how the Holy Spirit is meant to come into your life and help you be Christ witnesses. The first thing he refers to him as is the Comforter. You see that? Which is probably the most common translation. How many of you have ever maybe gone to a funeral or a visitation or had a friend that was suffering a loss or some sort of tragedy in their life, whether it was the passing of a loved one or something else? How many of you have ever gone and been with this person that has suffered this loss that was in desperate need of comfort and you just didn't know what to say? I mean, I know I try to be conscientious of that. Is that when I'm with somebody that maybe has lost somebody, I try to be careful not to say the wrong thing. And sometimes you just don't know what to say. And sometimes you're not supposed to say anything. Well, I'm here to tell you today, the Holy Ghost is the Comforter. And the Comforter lives on the inside of you. So the Holy Spirit will help you in this situation of needing to be a good witness for the Lord, for this person that suffered this loss, by giving you either the words to speak or the comfort of the presence of God that you need to be the distributor of. And I'm here to tell you today, if we're living in close fellowship with the Holy Spirit, He can give you exactly what to do in every situation to bring His comfort into somebody's life. Amen. It's like we've got our own personal Whoopi with us. I know, some of y'all saw it. Was it Mr. Mom? You remember that movie back in the 80s? Michael Keaton and the little kid had the little Whoopi thing. I don't know. I haven't seen this movie in years. But basically, you know, the little comfort thing like Linus, carrying that little blanket around. You got a comfort alongside of you. And some of us need to take our thumb out of our mouth and start embracing our Whoopi, our Comforter, so that we can let that comfort come out of us. And like I said, this is one of the most powerful things, and I've done this before, and I'm sure some of you in here have done it as well. When you didn't know what to say, the Lord will show you, all right, Holy Spirit, how can I be a blessing? How can I be a witness today? How can I minister to this person today? And the Lord will say, just hug them and love them. And your arms wrapped around them can feel like the Lord's arms embracing them. Because why? The Holy Spirit upon you now will begin to do what? He'll begin to do His work as you're being His witness. Amen. So you can be a good witness just simply by how you minister to somebody that is suffering. He's a comforter. Number two, look at this one. He's a counselor. Amen. Now, when I hear the term counselor, a lot of times I think of, you know, you got all kinds of counselors in the world today, don't you? You got counselors for inner healing type stuff. You got financial counselors. I remember when I was in school, we had what was called guidance counselors. Right? You remember that? These were the people that had the best job in the school. You know why? Because nobody ever went to them. I know me. I didn't know a lot of kids that ever took advantage of these guidance counselors. They're just sitting back there twiddling their thumbs, I guess. I don't know. But guess what? We don't need to let the Holy Ghost be like that, because He is the ultimate guidance counselor. And guidance is a good word, because what is He called to do? To guide us into all truth. I wonder how much the Holy Ghost wants to say to us, wants to speak to us, wants to minister to us, but because we don't have the wherewithal to ask Him, we don't get the answers. And thus comes to pass the scripture that says, you have not because you ask not. Amen. You know, it says over in a lot of people's favorite verses in the Bible, Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will what? Direct your paths. How many of you could use a little bit more of a direction from the Lord in your everyday path, everywhere you go? I'm telling you, we could use that, can't we? Well, what does that scripture tell us we need to be doing? In the verse that I just quoted to you, verse 6, I believe it is, He says that you need to be acknowledging Him in all your ways. Amen. You know, this is one of the first revelations I ever got from the Lord, is that I remember that I think it was a Walmart. And how many of you have ever gone into a store like a Walmart or a Kroger or something like that, and you just seem to get in the longest lines? I mean, just get in the worst line. Somebody is wanting to use 10,000 coupons in front of you. Somebody needs to take back certain items and run and go get something else and things like that. Well, I remember I got in line at one particular place, and it was like the parting of the Red Sea. I had a few people in front of me, and one goes, oh, I forgot something. Another person says, oop, I need to go, and all this, and whoop, the Red Sea parts, and I'm right up in line. And you know what the Lord showed me? He said, you know why that happened, Trey? Because you acknowledged me in all your ways. Which means, you look the word acknowledge up there in the Hebrew, it's the same word that was used when it said how Adam knew his wife Eve. Now, how many of you know that when that verse says that, that doesn't mean he sat down across the table with her and asked her a few questions? Well, we're talking about intimacy, right? So we're talking about intimacy with God. When you have a knowledge of Him, an intimacy with God, then the more you come to know Him, the more He will direct your paths, which actually says He'll make your paths smooth and straight. Not windy and bumpy and crooked. Amen. He'll make it smooth and straight when you acknowledge Him. So the counselor on the inside of you needs to be acknowledged. Like, for example, have you ever had somebody come to you, or you're ministering to somebody and they needed some counsel, they needed some answers? And I would venture to say that the majority of us in here do not have a tremendous amount of training in how to be a counselor and all the different things to say from the natural. Some people probably do, but not all of us do. But the good news is, you got the fairest of 10,000 counselors living on the inside of you. And if you'll lean on Him and acknowledge Him in the situation, He can give you exactly the best thing to say with no formal training, nothing in the natural to back you up. You know, that was probably the most intimidating thing I ever had of entering into pastoring. Standing up before you and preaching was no problem. But what I was a little bit insecure about when I first started out was, well, Lord, you know, I might not have been through all these things the people that would come to me for counseling would. How am I supposed to help them? You said, I'll give you the answers. I'll tell you what to say. And there's many different times where I've sat across the room from somebody with zero experience, zero information, and not knowing in myself what to say. But then, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, wisdom from God will come. And I'll be able to minister exactly what that person needs. Amen? Why? Because we got the counselor on the inside of us. Praise God. Then he goes on to describe him as the helper, which is what our translation, New King James, says. Amen? When you go look up the word helper, it describes an assistant or an aide or something like that. But I like what one definition of the word helper is. When you go look up like synonyms of it, one phrase is this, a helpmate. Amen. And boy, that immediately reminds me of Genesis chapter 2, where the Lord said, it's not good for man to be alone. Amen. Now, how many of you know that sounds a little bit like John 16:7 that says it's not advantageous for man to be alone? So it's not good for us to be alone, but we need a what? A helper. And I believe that's a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit in our life. Just as it's not good for us to live our lives solo and single just to try to navigate these waters on ourselves, the best plan for God is for two Spirit-filled people that are in one accord to be joined together and become one flesh. And many of us, and I'll speak to the husbands today, how many of you were going to do something one day or make a certain turn and thank God you had your helper in the car with you to let you know, nope, hon, we better not do that. Yep, I see Melzar raising his hand. Bunch of us in here. Amen. Well, thank God for that. Amen. And I'm sure it works in reverse, maybe a fraction of the time. But it works sometimes, right? Because when we come together, we are meant to help one another. Amen. Just like Eve and Adam were helping each other. That's what the Holy Spirit will do for you. And He'll help you in the situation of being able to witness to somebody. Like I shared last week, if you and I, say, Mary, you and I are going to go witnessing in the neighborhood. We're going to go knock on doors and we're going to share the gospel. Amen. And we go to the first few houses and Pastor Trey takes lead and does the talking and Mary's there with me and this and that. And then I tell Mary, hey, Mary, I got to go back to the church here for a minute. You go to the next few houses without me. Well, I'm going to probably tell you, a lot of us in here, Mary wouldn't be alone in this, would be terrified. Because why? We feel like we got to have somebody else. We got to have some help. Well, you do have some help. And His name is the Helper. And He lives on the inside of you. And you are not alone. In fact, you need to eliminate something from your dictionary. You are not single. You're not alone. Well, I don't have nobody. Yes, you do. You got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. You got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You've got Almighty God, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper living in you. Learn to have fellowship with that. Hallelujah. And then He goes on to describe the Advocate. The next word is Advocate. Now, what is an advocate? It's a defense attorney. Amen. Now, you know why this is so important? Because this is the Holy Spirit's ministry, is to defend, not to accuse and condemn. How many of you ever run into somebody before that talks about the Holy Spirit in their life and they use some kind of terminology like this? They say, oh man, I missed it the other day and the Holy Ghost took me to the woodshed and wore my rear end out. I mean, just let me have it. Told me what a low down, dirty... That ain't the Holy Ghost, because that doesn't sound like being an advocate to me. Amen? Or like the people that are out doing street evangelism. And I'll tell you what, man, I remember being born and raised in Athens, Georgia. Boy, you had people that, bless their darling hearts, but stupid heads, they would go out there trying to share the gospel, is what they would say. And this is pretty much the equivalent of what they would do. They were telling everybody, you're going to hell, you adulterers. You're going to hell, homosexuals. God's going to come and judge you. And they're holding up all these signs. And you go to these people and you say, what are you doing? They say, we're preaching the gospel. There is no good news in telling somebody they're going to hell. And gospel means good news. Amen? If I'm doing something by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be being an advocate. It's going to cover a multitude of sins, not expose them. Amen? Now, there is a time and place for correction and things like that, but I'm going to tell you one of the main things the Holy Spirit does is He doesn't uncover. Thank God for that. Aren't you glad that you didn't show up at church today and everybody that's in tune with the Holy Ghost had Him tell you everything you've done wrong in the past month? Aren't you glad? I'm glad. He covers a multitude of sins because that's what love does. And if I'm operating in the ministry of the Holy Spirit in witnessing with people, I'm coming to share good news with them. I'm coming to help them. I saw somebody recently, and they were smoking around me, and smoking a cigarette, and the cigarette smoke, because of the wind outside, just blew right on me. You could tell they knew what I did, and they were humiliated. They were embarrassed. And what I like to tell people is, hey, man, smoking won't send you to hell. It'll make you smell like you've been there, but it ain't going to send you to hell. In other words, turn it, because most people are living under the condemnation and the awareness of their sin. People need to have more of an awareness of His goodness and His grace, because it's the goodness of God that leads man to repentance. Amen? And so if I'm operating in the Holy Spirit as a witness, I'm going to be more of an advocate. That's what people need. They need to know people are there to defend them and they're for them. Amen. How about an intercessor? How many of you have ever had somebody say, like you might have said, you might have gone to a restaurant, and I know some of you guys do this, you go to a restaurant and you ask your waitress to say, is there anything I can pray for you about? It's a good practice to do, good witness. Is there anything I can pray for you about? Yeah, and I've had some of them, they'll say no, but I've had some say, yeah, right now. And they'll stop their shift and pretty much let you pray. How many of you have ever been intimidated during those times? Say, I don't know what to pray for as I ought. Man, it sure would have been good if the Lord would have given us a Bible verse that tells us what to do or what the solution is for not knowing to pray for as you ought. Come on, y'all got to know what that verse is in Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Praise God. As it talks about when you don't know what to pray for as you ought, you got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you making intercession. You got to lean on the Holy Spirit during times like that and say, Lord, I don't know what to pray for. I don't know their needs, but you do. And because I've been walking in close fellowship with you, you'll give me the answer right here. You'll tell me exactly what to pray, what to say. And it's a lot like prophecy. The way I learned to operate in prophecy, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit, was you're not necessarily always going to have the full story to tell somebody. Sometimes it might just be somebody catches your eye and you know you need to go pray for them, or you need to speak into their life. Sometimes He gives you a word. He'll show you a little thing. But it's usually in either one of those situations that you get the full thing once you've opened your mouth with them. You'll start getting more during that time. That's what the Holy Spirit's meant to do. He'll start interceding through you for the person. Now look at this one. The strengthener. He's a strengthener for us. How many of you, when it comes to this subject of witnessing, being a witness and testifying of Christ, don't feel very strong at this? You feel a little weak. I mean, I think a lot of people would be honest and just say, you know what, I just feel like I don't really know what to say, I wouldn't really know what to do, and all this kind of stuff. And the Lord is saying to you today, He is your strengthener. And didn't we just confess it? What did the Bible tell you to do when you feel weak? Let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I've got power. I've got strength from God to be able to be the best witness for Him when I get one-on-one with somebody or when I get in a group of people. The Lord is my strength, and He gives me the... I love it. It says over there in Philippians chapter... I got that verse for you. I think I gave you that one, right, Debbie? Philippians chapter 3. Look at this one. Is it 2? I think I gave you the wrong verse, but I'll tell you what it says anyways. He says this. He goes... that the Lord will give you the will and the do to do His own pleasure. It's the Lord who works in you, both to will and to do for His own good pleasure. You know what that means? That means He'll give you the want to. How many of you want to be able to share the love of God and love people and be a witness for Christ? Well, that scripture tells you He'll give you the want to and He'll give you the to do. He'll give you the strength and the ability to be able to do it. And you got to believe for it because the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. And this final one, I love it. Standby. Standby. Now, when I see this word standby, this doesn't mean He's standing by to basically bail you out in the last second. It means He's standing there alongside of you to be everything you need in any situation. And you know something? As I saw this about Him being a standby, a song came to me, and I am sure that this could be a hit. I mean, I'm absolutely convinced that I can get this song into the right people's hands, and people like Brian, Cameron, and Emily and y'all can kind of help me put some chords to it and do different things and develop all the riffs and everything, that man, this could be platinum. It kind of starts out like this, and this is kind of the little bass guitar riff. It goes, boom, 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 catch it, boom, 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 boom. And then it goes, when the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see. Now, don't y'all steal this song from me now. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand, stand by me. Now, I'm not going to sing the rest of it because we'll probably all break out in here. Hey, hey, I told you I was going to sing for you today, praise God. Just didn't know it was going to be an oldie, but a goodie. Amen. Well, we got a standby, hallelujah, living on the inside of us. So when it is dark and when the moon isn't shedding its light, we got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us, standing by us, being a friend that sticks closer to a brother, fairest of 10,000, the best standby we could ever have living on the inside of us to be our witness and to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I should be looking at a room full of the best witnesses for Christ this planet has ever seen, because you know about this Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, and you are fully equipped with the counselor, the comforter, the strengthener, the advocate, hallelujah, the standby. The Lord is meant to help you. He is witnessing made fun. And when you start doing it like this, I'll tell you what, man, it is so fun. I remember I was next to a person, I was working at the bank during this time. Now, I'm not a big advocate of taking all your work time to be sharing the gospel. There's been a lot of people that brought reproach to the name of Christ by doing stuff like that. But there's always opportunities as the Holy Spirit will lead you. And I remember this one person was looking at their computer screen one time, and they were looking at, oh, their screensaver. That's what it was. Their screensaver was showing like the galaxy, planets and stars and everything. And I just leaned over to him. The Holy Spirit showed me. I leaned over to him and said, you know, I know the one that made all that. You reckon I had their attention? Hallelujah. He will give you creative ways to share the good news. He'll give you the most beautiful ways to impact people's life because he knows them. He knows that person. And he can give it to you in the most beautiful way to present it to them, to where they'll look back and say, I've never met a Christian like you. Most Christians I've seen are hypocrites and religious, and they look like they've been drinking lemon juice all the time. But you're happy. You got joy. You got peace. You got something. I want what you've got. And that's when you offer them the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand on our feet then. I remember I did that thing with the standby. I think I've done that before, actually. And I remember when I started singing that, the entire congregation began singing that in such a powerful way. And I said, man, y'all are a carnal bunch in this place. I mean, I don't see y'all singing the praise songs that way. Praise God. Y'all know I'm joking. You know my heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. You got a standby. You're not single. You got somebody with you to help you and give you everything you need. That is the precious Holy Ghost. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, we thank you today for all the goodness, for all the grace, for everything you've provided for us in our lives. Lord, I thank you that we are called to be your witnesses. You've equipped us to do this because you've given us the Helper. And I thank you today for teaching us to acknowledge the Holy Ghost in all of our ways, so that everywhere we go, everything we do, we're leaning into close fellowship with the Lord, and we benefit from all of these attributes of the Holy Spirit in our life. I thank you that you're teaching us such important truth that will help us to testify of your goodness. And we bless you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Continue to have your eyes closed if you would. If our prayer ministers will come forward, you know, I would venture to say there's probably some people in here that have maybe not even ever heard so much as there being a Holy Spirit. That you might not know that there is this second work of grace that we can receive. Well, baptism of the Holy Spirit, Spirit coming upon you, is a big part of our faith. You need this. Yes, to be His witnesses, but for anything. Amen? So if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you've never had the Holy Spirit come upon you, we'll be available to pray for you today and see you filled today. Don't leave this place the same as you came in. Receive power from on high. If you need prayer for anything else in your life, maybe it's something similar to Sonia was testifying about earlier. Father, I thank you that the power is present to heal and deliver and redeem. I thank you today for manifesting your power in this church in a special, powerful way. We bless you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name.